Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land. Guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, from a tell bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a Comatell pro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Sada didn't fight, just stripped to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck until they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill they brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in L.A. Fed kids on a spoon with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to steal. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, no conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's
known,
now they wanna
start
to touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Up our act, and if you've been held down before, I know you. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Business is still prospering in many places and not so swell in other places. But we're going to talk about what do we have to abandon to manifest self-government. Now, to give a hint, some say it is perhaps disunity. We should abandon disunity, and we can form a government. Others say, well, if we just stop the self-destructive behavior, wow, we're right on our way to a self-government. Others say if we would just abandon alcoholism, drugs, and gambling, and man, we got it. We're going to be a government. We just stop using drugs, alcohol, and stop gambling. Others have hinted, oh my, that oversexuality is a problem in the black community. We can never achieve self-government as long as we have the opposition's diet, sexual habitations, etc., is preventing us from self-government. And yet more are coming to say, if we have our own politics, we already have our own self-government. What say ye? Because some are saying that, hey, if we abandon religion, we will be a government. Oh, my. Or is there others? There are many other unique transformations of other foreign and unique idealisms that cause us to not have a government at this hour. But again, what say ye? What will stimulate our thought process? What can you say to me to stimulate my processes of or thought patterns that would motivate us to take action and organize effectively to form government? So you can call us tonight at 646-478-4447. Again, our telephone number tonight is 646-478-4447. We'll get you live right here on Black Power Radio. As we prepare to go to the west side, we've heard from the east side. Now we got to hear this. How do we do a Dr. Melody side on that west side? We're punching in right at 343 at 343 at 323-8884. You're actually live on Black Power Radio, your host for this evening, Dr. Mela Desire. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Power to the people. All right, family.
All power to the people.
All power to the people. So this is our last Sunday, family, of the year 2021. There's a lot of questions we got to ask ourselves. Ushering into the new year, we literally have about 5 days remaining. So what challenges have most faced you this year? What expectations do we expect for next year? What are the obstacles? And how can we move forward? These are the most important questions that we need to ask ourselves moving right in into a brand new year. But this is not any other year, family. This is the year of season change. 2022 is a very spiritual year. It's the year where the Lord had told us, as the original people, that we were strangers in a strange land for a number of years. And until that time is over, we will now gain our possession. And this was a promise that God had for us. So politics is one of the things that have been controlling us since the beginning of this inception of this country. Politics has determined how we live, how our children are irradiated, educated, how we receive funding in our areas or lack thereof. They all lead to one bed, and that is politics. So what is the question that you have to answer amongst yourselves individually that I have to change in order to usher in the new year the right way? Leadership is not something that we take lightly, but each one of us have the capability to do so. Before we jump into leadership, we first must ask ourselves, where did we come from? What is my purpose? And what is my actions now? Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is not a regular group. It is a very specialized training group for a specific purpose. So where did the Black Panther Party come from? What was its inception in how we are to operate now in 2022? So let's look at the original, the origins of the Black Panther Party and what the symbol of the panther means, particularly. Start with the history of the Loudoun County Freedom Organization, also known as LCFO. This was also known as the Black Panther Party, that started in 1965 under the direction of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. And we went into detail the history of SNCC with Akshi, one of our original members of SNCC. Activist Stokely Carmichael was one of the original leaders. In 1965, in Lowndes County in Alabama, which was 80% black, not a black citizen was registered to vote. And voting was a big issue, part of our main civil rights back then. Carmichael arrived in the county and organized a voter registration project from what came the LCFO, the Lowndes County Freedom Organization. Party members adopted Black Panther for their symbol for their independent political organization. I want us to remember this, that the time in 1965, a panther was a symbol of strength. A panther is a specific function in society. It minds its own business, does what it's supposed to. But what happens when you creep and threaten the space of a panther? That's where the mode of self-defense comes in. And this is very crucial for us family as individuals of this party to continue on and prepare yourself for the best mode of self-defense. At the time in 1965, more than half of African American population in Loudoun County lived below the poverty line, and this is something that rings true today. Moreover, white supremacists had a long history of extreme violence towards anyone who attempted to vote or otherwise challenged the all-white rule at the time. Now, Loudoun County Freedom Organization members didn't simply want to vote to place the other white candidates in office. That was not an option for them at the time. Instead, what they wanted was able to vote for candidates that they chose. See, white voters in Loudoun County reacted strongly to the LCFO at that time. In many instances, many whites evicted their sharecroppers, and sharecropping was a big, big business for us as blacks back in the day, leaving many blacks homeless and unemployed. Whites also refused to serve known as LCF members in stores and restaurants. So understand the beginning of this Panther movement, there was a lot of discrimination that happened in Alabama. Whites also refused to do business or offer any type of empowerment, which is what rings today. Small riots broke out with the local police often firing guns at blacks during these confrontations. However, the LCFO pushed forward and continued to organize and register voters. So in 1966, several LFCO candidates ran for office in a general election, failed to win. And 1966 is very significant to us, remember the humble beginning of what the political change in the atmosphere was to take place. See, the movement spread all over the nation at the time. And two black Californians, Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, asked for permission to use the Black Panther emblem and that Loudoun County Freedom Organization had adopted it right then and there for their newly formed Black Panther Party. Now, the Oakland-based Black Panther Party became prominent at that time. And so here
Black
we
power.
Are, Black Power.
Black Power. Beloved sister and Dr. Mellow Desire, I know you read on that website, but we have a surprise guest for you tonight here on Black Power, which is most normally a Black Panther Woman's Sunday. But we have a very special guest. Dr. Michael V. Roberts is out in St. Louis, Missouri, and he had a few words to share with us, and he could perhaps take a question from you as the host. I want to welcome to the airwaves our beloved brother and Dr. Michael V. Roberts. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Hello, my brother. How are you?
Fine, sir. All right.
Good to have you.
Walaikum salam. I am so pleased to be with my brothers and sisters tonight. It's been a little while since I've had a chance to come on and speak, and it is just indeed a pleasure to be back. So,
I'm
welcome.
I've begun a new effort to empower Black people, and I'm of a firm belief that we must start from K to 12 with our re-education, and then for those that were miseducated coming up to college, that we have to begin to focus on our historic HBCUs, our Black colleges and universities, to begin to re-educate and properly educate our emerging leaders so that we're not going to be left out again as we have for generations. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm a businessman. I believe in us having a strong belief in owning our own businesses. And if you own your own business, then I expect you to employ our fellow Black brothers and sisters. And I set the example because I did that with my 14 hotels, 12 TV stations, and even where I have my developments, even in the Bahamas, 99% of the 11,000 people I've employed over the years were all Black. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm a strong proponent of entrepreneurship and employing our folks. But one of the things that I have to admit is that we sometimes don't quite look into the future with businesses. And I'm a futurist, so whenever I write books like the books I've written, Action Has No Season and Action Has No Season 2.0, I've tried to push our thinking to the point where we are disrupted. And what do I mean by that? I mean we need to not deal with the status quo, not deal with what people are constantly just trying to snow us and get by giving us, you know, traditional miseducation, but for us to really delve into what is coming up in the future and for us to prepare our young people to do it. Now, let me be specific. Let me start with this question. What do you think and how will people be spending money 10 years from now? Now, if we could begin to embrace that question, I think one of the things we would have to say is clearly we are in a digital and information age, that data ownership and data utilization will apply to our day-to-day life, and marketing people will know more about us almost than we know about ourselves, because they will take a trend that we're doing by capturing certain data. They will use that to put forth in front of us certain items that they believe we will want, and once we see it, interestingly enough, we may have an impulse buy. So if we look at artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, cryptocurrencies, blockchain, drone development, if we start taking on esports and gamification, and we start taking all those little points that I raised, I just made a bunch of millionaires, if not billionaires, because if you take any one of those subjects and you become the expert and develop on them, you will be extremely successful for the rest of your life. So how are we going to get that done, or how am I trying to get it done? Well, my plan is I've created the Roberts Innovation Group. Our nickname is RIG, R-I-G. And what I'm establishing is, and I have established, we've been working on it now for almost a year, when we can launch and go into the HBCUs and go into K-12s and begin to first create a understanding of wealth legacy, which means how do you manage the money that you will earn and develop. And as an entrepreneur, I would be in front, setting myself up as the example of a black man coming out of a black neighborhood and becoming quite successful, financially successful, and also contributing back by once being elected to the St. Louis City Council, where I served for 8 years. And we continue to do the things that are necessary to change our community by developing strip shopping centers and jobs and businesses inside of North St. Louis. I only say that because I'm from Missouri, and that's the show me state. And my point is, a lot of folks will give you a lot of black rhetoric and talk smack, but the reality is, what have you done? And I can answer that question by any standard and be able to prove that I've been able to achieve by creating the type of mindset that is necessary to put one in a position to not be miseducated, but be reeducated into the right direction. I won't take up my whole time by saying too much. I'll be happy to take questions. But if you could imagine being able to go onto a campus and meet our black students and let them see, we're going to call this also like a conversation with a capitalist. We could take, I'll find three or four black millionaires, successful business people in every city that I go to, and we will set up and have a panel. And each of them will describe how they succeeded, what they did, and their challenges, of course, and be able to share their opinions as to what is to be done for an individual asking the question to maybe make a difference. And like I said, one of the key points is to, from my standpoint, is to even get my book, which is a mentoring book, Action Has No Season and Action Has No Season 2.0. Yes, you can buy it on Amazon, but I'd rather you go to a black bookstore and ask them to order it and buy it from them. So this wealth legacy tour that we'll be creating will be strongly involved in making sure that our folks recognize the value of entrepreneurship. And even if you have a job and you develop wealth, let's make sure that we are advising you correctly on how to manage the wealth that you develop so it becomes sustainable and can sustain into generations. So, Brother Akbar, I'm sorry to have held you up that long. I'm prepared to follow up with any questions that anyone might have.
Well, Mr. Roberts, you've opened up and gave us quite an interest, as you always do, points of interest. And I know if you've reiterated a point, this re-educate, I'm very interested to probe into that area of and some of your definitions are tech-wise, legal-wise, social-wise, on your concept of re-education. And I will yield and give all of the rest of the questions to Dr. Mellor Desire. So what say ye, Mr. Doc Roberts, on the re-education?
Well, we are extremely humbled and grateful that you're here today. And we definitely have a lot of questions to move forward on how we can empower our youth, particularly in 2022. And so we want to sponsor 300 young people internationally from Sierra Leone, Haiti, and the United States for this particular course that you literally have named. And can you tell us a little bit about the difference between your book, Action Has No Season, and Action Has No Season 2.0, and the term actionaire, which I find very, very appropriate and inspiring. So what was the work behind that word, actionaire?
Well, and what is an actionaire? An actionaire is one who takes their dreams, their ideas, their vision, their sense of purpose, and they pursue them with courage and confidence and bravado. An actionaire isn't one that sits around trying to use excuses for not getting things done. An actionaire doesn't make excuses. An actionaire never takes the position that success is something that is an illusion. The actionaire is one who realizes the value of recognizing that they have to eliminate, to be an actionaire, you have to eliminate the fear of failure. So let's break mm-hmm. that down. First word, fear. Fear is just a mental construct. It's not of nature. It's not rain. It's not wind. It's not grass growing. When you were born without it, but you've allowed yourself to place it in your psyche. So just as you place it in your psyche, you can eliminate it. Second word, failure. I submit to you there's no such thing as failure. And what do I mean by that? Well, every day when you wake up, you're given 86,400 seconds. That's 24 hours for those math majors out there. And the moment you think of the moment, it's already gone. So there's an existential type a philosophy behind an actionaire, such that you may experience a downturn in a business or a marriage or another relationship. The question is, do you want to consider that a failure, or do you want to consider that a lesson that you've learned where the outcome wasn't as you would have liked? And see, if we can eliminate the representation that failure is something that exists versus recognizing that in every moment, no matter how questionable the moment is with regard to your lifestyle or business, that at the end of the day, you learn something from it, something you may never repeat again. It's a lesson. You know, when people throw the L sign for loser.
Yeah.
I say throw the L sign, but that L sign means lesson, not loser. So if we can begin to recognize that in every moment of our existence, we are learning something, coming into our psyche, into our brain, and we must accept it as a lesson, one that we will benefit from long term. Maybe in the short term, it's not as you would have liked, whatever that lesson is, but it's a lesson nevertheless. So too frequently, our people will constantly look backwards instead of looking forward. And the analogy that I make in my books is you wouldn't drive a car by looking in a rearview mirror. Well, therefore, what makes you think you would want to live your life by looking in a rearview mirror? You see?
Right.
So in my books, this type of philosophy I've created and written about, and to speak to your first part of your question, you know, the books basically provide these types of philosophies with anecdotal support, meaning, you know, I've taken three companies public. I've served on boards for presidents and let me also, I noticed you mentioned Sierra Leone. In the year of the return, 2 years ago, after the 400 years of our exile from Africa, I went to Sierra Leone because I found out that I am of the Mende tribe. And
once
I was there, I was taken to the island of Bounce, all at the invitation of the president, and I was made a paramount chief. So I am actually a paramount chief in Sierra Leone. So when you said that, it's really the heritage of my bloodline that will probably go back, you know, a thousand years.
That's amazing.
The Sierra Leone kind of very interesting.
It's a mystery to doctor.
Yes.
And we have our brother, hopefully Brother Alfred is be on the line. He's our chapter representative and is literally on fire with at least 40 to 50 Sierra Leone students ready to step forward in leadership. So this is great that you actually have ties with Sierra Leone in that fashion. I'm curious, when I was looking at your background, notice when you guys moved to another all-white neighborhood, you attended Northwest High School at the time, how did you keep your identity as far as who you was as a black man?
Well, I grew a big afro. Listen, identity is a relative statement, isn't it? When you go to a school and there's only a few blacks initially in your school, as I did in my grade school, and then by the time I graduated from the elementary school, the neighborhood had changed. Well, there may have been seven black kids in my elementary school when I started. By the time I finished elementary school, there were maybe seven whites. So, and then I experienced a similar thing in high school. So, look, it doesn't take long for one to recognize the issues of racism. If you brought up with by parents who were proud black people who understand that there are ways to keep your to have your children understand the value of our heritage, but at the same time ignore the ignorance of white folks who don't have anything but insecurities inside of their own race. So we always looked at anybody who had, you know, a racist temperament or behavior as being just a very, very insecure person. And we would internally pretty much laugh at them. So that's kind of a simple way to do it. But I remember when I took one of my companies public and Forbes did a story on me, and the heading was "Fake It Till You Make It."
Oh.
Well, I had joined in with two. We built a wireless phone company, by the way. I built for the state of Missouri. I built the wireless company that was eventually sold to Sprint, became Sprint's Missouri-based company. But in the interim of owning it and making moves and raising the types of money that we had to raise, they were asking, "Well, how did you pull it off?" I said, "Well, sometimes you just gotta fake it till you make it." And then that's how we got the $53 million to build it. And then once we sold it for $300 million, they were asked. Forbes came along and said, "How did you do it?" I said, "You gotta fake it till you make it." Well, some of the white guys who are friends of mine, when they read that article, they were trying to understand, well, what did we mean by that? What did I mean by that? So I said, let me just point out. I said, you say that, I say that because it's a black thing. But you don't understand the language? Well, let me translate, fake it till you make it in your language. Haven't you ever heard of Dress for Success, Voodoo Economics? That's white folks talk for fake it till you make it.
Okay.
So sometimes you just got to get them straight by having them look at themselves by putting a mirror in front of them. See, now you just take a look at this mirror and tell me what you see.
Right.
And that's what I used to do all the time.
Right, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. So that determination of what brought you to become the businessman that you are is astounding. And I think our young people need to hear more about the humble beginnings that you had and determination that you had. And I see that you had set your sight more on business. You actually got involved into politics. And one thing that, as a youth mentor, politics is not our forte. And this is what I kept telling our people, that we cannot afford in 2022 to be blind to our local politics. We must at least have knowledge of who's running our city. How true is that statement? And how did you navigate in politics, starting with Jimmy Carter's campaign?
Well, when I came out of law school, I moved two blocks from the projects where I lived for 10 years. And I realized that, you know, politics is a way to get to know people. If you get elected, they have to respect that you were the youngest member of the city council, as I was. And yet you also find yourself in a form of training, if you will, because, again, my daddy worked at the post office for 39 years. We weren't rich. We weren't poor. We just never had any money. But they were stable, and I was stable as a result of their stability. And I had the confidence to move on into running out for office, and I did. I've never had a job, like working job, other than work my way through college. But I really never had a job per se. I've only built my own companies and just did it my way, so to speak. So you know, perhaps you can kind of get a gist of the type of person I am through the fact that it was just hard work. And you mentioned politics. Well, of course, all politics is really one vote and grassroots, and it is important for us to be involved with that. Now, one of the issues that I have with the civil rights movement and looking back is we spend a lot of time on getting people to register to vote, and it's important, and get the right to vote, I should say, as well. But to me, in a capitalist society, and that's where we are, I always tell people, you know, if you lived in a socialist country, you'd be called a socialist. And if you lived in a communist country, you'd be called a communist. Now, we live in a capitalist nation, so we better recognize that and go on and embrace that term and use it to our benefit. And so I decided that I better understand exactly who I am, where I am, and the opportunities that are surrounding me, and then go for it, and just absolutely go for it. And that's what the actionaire does, right?
Right.
So to my point on the civil rights movement, if we had had the same effort in making for civil rights, S-I-L-V-E-R, if we had pushed as hard to make the bankers lend the money to create the Black Wall Streets that existed, really in almost every city, we had, you know, a Black Wall Street. But as the desegregation movements took place, the 63 black-owned life insurance companies that existed throughout the United States suddenly were competing competition with the Equitables and the Prudentials of the world, who had products that they could offer more aggressive products for our people, and they walked away from those businesses, and they ended up shutting down. Same thing with the banking business and the savings and loan businesses. Black folks had all of that going on until desegregation took place, and then suddenly, you know, the competition began to take the businesses away. Now, I'm okay with competition, but my point is we should have been able to embrace the opportunities and grow the businesses, because all of the same banks and all that, they, many of them started as a family business and grew, but they were white, and they were able to find themselves integrating their philosophies of business opportunities on the all-white golf courses together and in the private clubs together, talk it out, get to know each other, and trade business. Whereas we found ourselves almost taking on the Willie Horton approach to life, where we were busy shooting each other down as opposed to building each other up. But that was exactly what the slave owners taught our ancestors to do, unfortunately. And it carried through, and to some degree it's still taking place, where we will, you know, take the position that, you know, white folks' ice is colder than black folks' ice. So we don't do enough shopping and doing business with our own and doing banking with our own and growing our business. We certainly have the resources. We have, you know, $1.2 trillion to come through the United States black community on an annualized basis. We just have to be more attentive to doing business, you know, within our community.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Very well said. And that's very impressive. And
yeah,
your brother.
Black power. We do have online, I believe, a brother from behind the wall that may only have about 1 minute, but I think he wanted to at least greet our guests. We do have a community behind the wall, Mr. Roberts, and from time to time, they'll call Black Power Radio. Do we have Brother Abdullah online from behind the wall in New York State Corrections? As-salamu alaykum and Black Power.
Walaikum salam, Black Power. Yes, greetings to all of y'all. Greetings to you, Mr. Brother Man. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very, very good, my brother. Very good. I hope you're doing well as well.
I'm trying to hang in there. I'm staying strong, my brother.
Staying strong.
But I have a question to ask. Like, if a person has been, when he gets released and he wants to start his own business, what should he invest in to start off with, to start his own business?
Well, for me, I've hired many returning citizens. And as a result, I recognize that in the time that you're there, you spend a great deal of time thinking and trying to figure out exactly the question you just asked, right? So, in my opinion, because you will have difficulty in getting loans and getting your opportunities presented to you, because they will not acknowledge the fact that you've served your responsibilities to society, and as a result, you should be able to be resurrected. I would suggest that you start the way I started, and that is be able to, you know, go into some of the neighborhoods, like, for example, in a place like Detroit and others, where there are properties that you can acquire for little or nothing. And then use your sweat equity and a few contacts and try to renovate the property and then get it to the point where you can lease it and or sell it. If you lease it or sell it, then take the resources and do two more of those properties, and then four, and then eight, and build a portfolio of real estate, because it's easier to do that than to try to get a, you know, a $200,000 business loan, you know, to open up a store.
Right.
You follow me? So, you know, we have to be realistic, but I will tell you that, as I mentioned earlier, there's things that's emerging in technology that could be created right there in the space where you are now. Study, what is blockchain? Study the drone technology. Study and get to know. And here, all you got to do is go on to YouTube and use some of that opportunity. Realize that all cars are going to be electric cars at some point, but yet they still have to be repaired. So
right.
Who knows? Is there anyone listening who knows where you can get an electric car repaired? I know you could get a regular, you know, a motor car, but who, what mechanics are really studying and learning and understanding the operations of an electric car? So there's all these emerging businesses I'm just tossing out, so that the brother could at least begin to realize. YouTube, artificial intelligence, metaverse. What is metaverse? That's where eventually you'll be able to talk to other people through a system similar to Facebook, but you'll actually see each other as avatars. An avatar that kind of looks like a cartoon character in a sense. And you literally are going to have conversations face-to-face where the avatars will be speaking to each other, but it'll be in real time. So this metaverse is an area. Now, I know I'm throwing some heavy stuff out, but I told you at the beginning, my job is to be disruptive. I want to almost make you scared, because when you get that way, you're going to start to realize, well, maybe I really don't know what I need to know. Let me go find this knowledge. And that's why my point is be disruptive.
Right.
I like that. Yep. You got to disrupt the playing field.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Our onboard genius, Brother Mike Roberts. So on that strength, we have so many avenues of, I guess, new exploration, developing apps and so forth. Is anyone in your network, Mr. Roberts, have there a Roberts app, Bitcoin, some of those things you discussed with us over the many episodes of Black Power Radio? And so what's the Roberts app and Bitcoins and stuff like that? How does that look today?
Say this. We have, you know, we're developing web pages. An app is appropriate for, you know, if I create the Roberts Action Coin, which is like a Bitcoin, one day, then, you know, we'll be having a different conversation to encourage people to look into that and invest there. I am developing
I wanted to mention, we do have a member, his name is Cornelius Gandhi. And he actually developed his own cryptocurrency, which we're waiting to liquidify. And I'm hoping that he's on the line, because he's definitely somebody that can explain to you Caveman Rocks and the KRE token. And this brother, he's been incarcerated for 27 years. And in those years, this is what he literally came up with in the last year. So, Imam, if 951 is there, if Cornelius Gandhi is there, I would love for him to be on the line to speak to our beloved Mr. Roberts while he's here.
Yeah. So I'll be scanning. So as you were giving your answer, Mr. Roberts, as we'll scan and look for our other guests. Go ahead.
Well, there's probably 3,000 cryptocurrencies out here. And in the future, it will be the dominant force of commerce, because it's a global currency, and it's one that that cannot be easily stolen off the internet, because your wallet or your phone is your wallet, and all your data and the ownership of your currency rests, you know, in that location. And there's over a million computers that are holding the same data on the blockchain that is the backbone or the accounting methodology for you to hold your cryptocurrency. I don't want to go too deep into it right now. I mean, I've been there. I'm a miner in blockchain, so I'm pretty close to how it works. But I guess my point is I want other people to realize what is blockchain, look it up, research it, and recognize that it's what it really means and how it's going to work in the future.
The caller has hung up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the New York Corrections making
okay.
an exit.
I understand. I get it. The whole concept of cryptocurrency and how you begin to utilize that in the future is pretty easy and straightforward once you get a feel for it. For example, if we want to buy something in Sierra Leone and there's a sister who owns the property that you're trying to buy or maybe the diamonds that you're trying to buy, you can have the data of that property location that's on this international blockchain. You can actually in the future be able to look at it, see who owns it, see who owned it in the past. It almost do the same thing that a title company would do. And then you can determine price, and you can go what's called peer-to-peer. So if Brother Agbor is the actual owner of the property over there, and I'm in St. Louis, and what I want to do is buy the property, I can communicate with him. I can send the Bitcoin to his wallet. He can send the documents over the Internet to me. I can then we would be able to exchange the ownership that way. And what did we just do? We eliminated certain businesses. We eliminated lawyers, title companies, banks. All of that will go away when we're exchanging our data when we find ourselves being able to go from the old-fashioned paper or fiat money to cryptocurrency. And that's how it's going to work in the end and in the future.
Yes, sir.
So, okay. I don't want to go too deep in the weeds on this one because this is all part of the lectures that I give
right.
when I'm on the tour.
Okay. So back to Earth right here now. Our chairman, which will soon be our first international chairman, he's bringing in several other villages and a few countries. But he has told us that we the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we have access to land and of all places in Sierra Leone. We have some options to develop as well as farm some of this land. So, and we also tied into some Harriet Tubman land. We're getting some organic food and halal food from various places here. So how do you respond to that, Mr. Roberts, that there's windows of opportunity to get onto some of this land and some of the food that's coming off the land?
Well, you're asking a very complicated question. I studied international law at the World Court at The Hague, and the opportunities to be able to move products from one location to another is complicated. Now, when I use the term complicated, I don't mean impossible, all right? Now, if you're referring to farming, then you're talking about food, I presume, and is that food that's going to remain in Sierra Leone and sold in Sierra Leone? Are you considering it as an export?
Well, we are looking at both, and
right.
it's all a fresh turf, but past, we have talked about both areas, the things that can be done on the land and sold there in Sierra Leone. What can we import and export on there in that same spirit?
Well, first of all, let's go back to the land point. Most land that's established is not going to be a fee simple transfer. It's more of a ground lease that the government will have ultimate ownership long term. I mean, you might own it for 50 years, you might own it for 99 years, which is okay. I mean, that's a ground lease, that's how it works. But if you were going into a place like Sierra Leone, I think your best return ultimately is to get yourself some land that has diamonds on it.
That was in discussion as well. He said minerals, that's one of the, he said the gold, the diamonds, and the mining is.
Well, Sierra Leone is known for having, where the largest diamond ever found in the world came out of Sierra Leone.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they also
diamond.
Have gold, of course. So, you know, you can grow corn if you want. Bauxite, there's bauxite to be mined there as well. But, you know, it's easy to say, but it's a complicated legal matter. And, you know, obviously you'll have to have your political visa in order. And then you'll need to understand the cost of transporting food as it relates to insects and issues like that. So, it's a nice social conversation, but it's a very complicated business decision.
Yes, sir.
Well, currently putting all this together is primarily what we want to teach our youth, business aspects and for them to own their own land in the metaverse. So Sierra Leone, in reality speaking, they are doing the best that they can, and our youth in Haiti, to put together a structure that they don't have. But more importantly, if we can gather them all together virtually, to create their own metaverse, that's precisely everything you said right there is exactly the point that we're trying to get all of our people on that same mentality. And so that's the pushback that we have right now for our youth to transfer wholly into the metaverse and really focus on this this lodging with the fiat currency. So I do appreciate you so much for not only being a business person, but to be relevant. And that, I can't say a lot to how we can move forward in 2022 for our youth. So if you can just tell us again the name of your current project. You said it's Robert's.
Robert's Innovation Group, RIG.
Innovation Group, okay.
We're going to set up a GoFundMe page as well, and that's going to all be all money coming in will go toward everything I've described in terms of beginning to work up curriculums and plans for our students from K to 12, as well as our students at the HBCUs, the Historic Black Colleges and Universities.
It's wonderful. And how can somebody join or know more information about becoming a part of the innovation?
Once the page is set up, I'll get back to you, and we'll be able to talk more freely and sort of explain how this will all work. It's all in. It's right now still just in the workings, and we meet every Thursday morning to get updates. As well as on the various grants that we're pursuing. You see, last year there was very little given out in grants. And there's many private and government grant funds that just stacked up. for now almost 2 years, really. So one has to find what's most attractive and then go with it. I have a black woman who is my chief director of writing proposals, and she's out of West Point, Mississippi, and she's been doing teaching for over 30-plus years, and
awesome.
She's my lead on this. She's brilliant.
We got to give it up for our black women. That's right. Making it happen.
All right. Black women and Black Panther. I'm looking out, and I do believe we see Mr. I know Mr. Roberts. You're familiar with Don Cornelius, who passed away from Soul Train. So we have our onboard crypto man. He has many various roles. He's a very, very, very resourceful brother who had a life of experience. And his name is Cornelius Don. And I'm more than sure that he has a few questions or some comments that will enhance what we've said so far. I'm trying to reach out and say, well, we got one too high, we're going low. Let's see if we can pick him up. We're reaching out for Don Cornelius, or is it Cornelius Don? You're right there.
Give me a little volume real quick.
Oh, you're working on volume. You're live.
Give me a little volume real quick.
Don, you are live. I'm on Black Power Radio with Michael B. Roberts, who you may not be familiar with. Right,
no, just love.
He's in Los Angeles, Mr. Roberts.
Okay. Can you hear me?
You still with me? You clear now? Okay. Mr. Don.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Mr. Roberts is a businessman.
Yes,
sir. We can hear you loud and clear. He's a businessman in St. Louis. He has also some properties in the Bahamas, and he has had, is it 13 businesses or 13 TV stations? But
yes, over 100 businesses.
But he's quite the businessman, Mr. Cornelius. The things that you are attempting to do now, he has done at least, let's say, 13 times over. But he is certainly a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I wanted to bring Mr. Cornelius Don just to say a few words to Mr. Roberts as you go on. Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Welcome, Mr. Roberts. I had an opportunity to hear some of what you were speaking about, and I really am excited about linking up with you in the future. As us personally, we are very adamant about launching the metaverse for our 300 youth so that they can fully immerse in not just being creators of the metaverse, but actual designers in the metaverse, right? We have a cryptocurrency called KRE token that is on verge of being getting the liquidity so that we can launch before the 2022. And any insight and information that you could bring on board, we're more than excited about that, as well as I was hearing you saying the curriculums. We have transformation of mindset curriculums. However, we usher and appreciate more business curriculums, and I'd love to connect some of those inside of NFTs with a special one-on-one possibly with someone with your vast knowledge. That's just a quick overview, hearing some of the things that I heard you say and just giving you a better understanding of what we're doing. We have a exchange in the works called Caveland Madness, where we are reaching back to our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, starting in America, hopefully going globally, and allowing them to bring their creativity, the God-given talent, onto this exchange so that we can provide that audience, which is being propelled, the engine from the coin, K KRE token and moving forward. So that's kind of some of the things that we have laid out right now. And I apologize if I'm breaking up because I'm traveling back from Sacramento at the moment. So I'm in the car.
So glad you're here.
You weren't breaking up. You were very clear. And congratulations on doing this. I'm delighted that you're bringing it to Black Power Radio so that folks could at least begin to have a social conversation and eventually a business conversation about the whole world of cryptocurrency.
Yes. We believe that the internet was one of the biggest revolutions in tech that we got left behind on, and we're now moving into the third phase, and we do not want to continue that digital divide. We if anything, our goal is to close that divide completely and use this new forms of currency to eradicate a lot of the financial issues that have plagued people of color or impoverished environments.
That's right.
Yes.
Right,
so,
thank you.
Yes, and I look forward to speaking with you more about this and being a part of everything that you got going on, because for you to launch 13 successful ventures in these realms, I'm sure where we are hoping to go, you already, your mind is turning, and if you haven't touched some of these areas, you could easily immerse yourself in them and give us that extra advice, if not turning to original funders so that we could start on an even playing field.
Right on. And
where are you based? Where is he based?
We're based in Los Angeles. We have a podcast that we're that's going live the first of the year. So if you would like to sit down and color and actually have a more in-depth conversation, I welcome you to that. Me and Dr. Mello, we co-chair in one of our podcasts as Caveman Rocks itself. I single chair. So we have multiple avenues that we want to bring forth to saturate these social media platforms to continue to just let the people know that the Warrior Foundation is in full effect, FIRE, Freedom and Renewed Education, is in full effect, and we say that again, Freedom and Renewed Education. Many of us have been indoctrinated or educated when we're really moving into a whole new form of understanding beyond just doctrination.
Right. And that's the first step, is the meta wallet, and learning that the meta wallet is going to replace your real wallet. That is the first step for our people to grasp on. So we're really trying to start with the basics 101 to usher 2D into 3D and virtual reality, as you mentioned. But the key, as you said, is real estate. So our main focus is to obtain as much land here in the United States and abroad so we can develop affordable housing and these virtual reality booths that desperately our young people need to create in their own spaces. So we're going to be in a good place.
Yes, and the meta wallet that the doctor was speaking of, we are standing behind MetaMask because it's the oldest and most used at this moment. But we want to educate people on all of the different crypto wallets, because crypto.com has an amazing wallet right now, as well as they're associated with an exchange and the Trust Wallet. But eventually our goal is to actually teach people how to to off-ramp their crypto onto a hard wallet so that they can have full security. For many of us who may not be daily activating our use inside of the Meta world or doing crypto transactions, but want to receive some of the benefits of holding Bitcoin or Ethereum or some of the larger altcoins, or crypto, Bitcoin being the godfather, as we all know. Some of us like to just buy those things and want to make sure that they're secure while the value is increasing. Then they shouldn't have their currency on hot wallets such as the MetaMask Trust wallet and Crypto.com. Then we want to educate them on how to move into Ledgers or the Nano X, where they actually take their crypto off of the blockchain and put it in their own security so that they're becoming the bank.
Right. Self-sufficient all the way. But so appreciate you. Thank you, Cornelius, so much for coming on board. And I hope we have enlightened a little bit on what we're doing on this end and how we can come together for the sake of our youth. This is great. Appreciate you very much, Mr. Roberts.
You said Mr. Roberts, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I think maybe two questions for him. Dr. Desire, we have a room for a couple of questions out there. Let me see. Can I pick up two, try to six number six, so I can get this on the chat, or we can pick up 666 or 460. You're live on Black Power Radio with Dr. Michael Roberts, Cornelius Dodd, and Mellow Desire. 202, you're live.
Black Power?
Yeah.
This is Biko. I've been listening to the show, which is a very, very informative show.
Can you get clear into your mic? I don't know if you're on a second line.
Hold on.
Be clear. Get directly into your mic.
Okay. How about now?
Yeah.
You're loud and clear, and you're bad.
Okay, yeah. I've been listening to the show, and it's a very, very informative show. I want to thank our guests for coming on tonight. You know, it's a real honor to have you on, especially with the vast experience that you have. This is something that we really, really need to hear, and I hope that the listeners are taking notes, because the information that's being afforded to us right now is priceless. But for someone to come on and give us this kind of information and sacrifice their time and energy to do so, you know, that speaks volumes. But I just want to thank you for coming on and aiding and assisting us at this call. Right. Another thing I would like to say is that what we need to do with the cryptocurrency and everything else that we're actually endeavoring to embark upon, I need every member of the New Black Panther Party to do their research, study, do your research, so that you have a clear understanding of the information that's being afforded to you, because there's not enough time on the airwaves to give out all the information that's needed. So it's very important for each individual that is interested in this to take the key points that are being given to you and go back and research. And then when we do have discussions like this again, critical questions can be asked of those who may not have a clear understanding of what's going on. Black Power.
Well said, brother. Hey, that was well said. I want to congratulate him on breaking it down and being able to reiterate the message in a fashion that all of us can understand. He did a
yes,
good
sir.
Job.
Yes, sir. Excellent. That's all, Mr. Roberts. That's a man I really want you to meet eventually. He's our national security advisor. His name is Stephen Biko Fawakan Muhammad, and he keeps things going on a local, national, international level as well. So he's been very extremely useful in keeping the whole network And Mr. Roberts, Mr. Biko, he goes back to Honorable Hashim at the Knotton and Zingers. It's really how we met Mr. Roberts, and he's just been always there for us. We just want to thank him so much for, again, texting his family, because he did actually, I talked to him earlier, Mr. Roberts, and thank you for taking away from your family and share some time with us here on Black Power Radio. It really means a lot to people. I just want to thank you very, very much.
You're quite welcome, and I trust everyone will participate in their Kwanzaa location activities wherever they're located, and to recognize that we're all still one family. So, Black Power, and take care, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Mr. Robert.
Thank you. Good night.
Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank him so much. He's loyal to the Panther, and everything Sean tells us, he was the original Panther. Everything I've heard him say was Panther stuff, so, well, who knows? We love him so much. Michael B. Roberts, he's really an icon with the Panther Party, and he has his book, Action Knows No Season. He has a group called Actioneers, and it means just what it says. And that's one of the questions tonight, cross-examination question tonight, is what will you do and what will you bring to stimulate our thought process and motivate us to take action? So organize effectively, brother and sister. And as we say, do your research, as Mr. Biko, Mr. Roberts, Mr. Cornelius Don, Dr. Mello Desire, and everyone is telling us to do your research, come back with a plan, take a strong stand. As we go to 469, let's try 469-894. You're actually live. It's coming out of Texas. At 469-894, you're live on Black Power Radio. Did we get 469? 469.
Are you Council, Bashir? Dad?
Absolutely. Are they on the mic? Are they rocking the mic in Texas? Is Texas alive on 469? It's right outside of Dallas, Texas, of all spots in the universe. Dallas, Texas, you're live on Black Power Radio. Yeah. What we're going to do, I'm going to pick up 423 and go back. Somebody will tap her on the shoulder, and we'll go out to pick up 323. At 323 and 338, you're live on Black Power Radio. I'm gonna see do we have any technical difficulties online? Let's see what's going on here. At 323, you're actually live on Black Power Radio. And Mr. Biko, I don't know if he had finished his statement or not. Are you still with us at 202?
Yes, I'm still here.
You can go ahead and complete your statement, and we'll go back to Dr. Mello Desire. Go ahead, Black Power.
Yes. In conclusion, what I would like to say is that we're moving forward, and we're moving forward consistently. What we have to understand is that we're talking about removing ourselves from a government that has been an oppressive regime over us. Primary thing that we need to understand in the struggle for liberation is, as Malcolm said, there is no liberation for us as a people without the acquisition of land.
Mm-hmm.
We acquire land. So when these assignments are being given out to us to go out and look for land and find out what's going on with the land that we're looking at, and then get that information and bring that information to us so we can actually find out if this land is acquirable and if it's fertile, rich soil, soil that we can actually grow our own on, soil that we can actually move towards constructive productivity on, right? What the elders did a long time ago is that back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, they made sure that they acquired land. Land is generational wealth. The acquisition of land means that you can do whatever you want to do on your land. That is your property, and you have your own freedom, your own independence on that land. We need to acquire land en masse, not just a lot where a house is on. We need to acquire land en masse. Even if we have to buy several lots, you could take those several lots and liquidate those lots to get acreage elsewhere. But we have to understand how that agricultural thing works, right? Mm-hmm. We have to plug in with farmers. We have to plug in with people who understand agriculture, who understand the land, who understand whether land is minerally rich or not, right? We are moving towards establishing a healthy and productive relationship with Africa. There's plenty of land in Africa, but we have to be qualified to govern the land in Africa once we get there. So we have to study government. We have to study politics. We have to study science. We have to study all of these things. These are things that the Black Panther parties are supposed to be adept at and astute at. That is the reason why we have many different departments in the new Black Panther Party. We have many different departments, and those departments cover a vast array of areas. We have within the structural dynamic of the new Black Panther Party a structure that says it is a government and not just a party. And those government within the new Black Panther Party are under a specific constitution that is constantly being built upon, revised to make it contemporary and to make it an impregnable doctrine. When I say impregnable doctrine, that means that it can be approved upon as time moves forward. We don't want to be caught up in old, outdated, antiquated ideological constructs, old, outdated, and antiquated viewpoints and stuff like that. We need to deal with what is current, what we're looking at in the future, and build towards that. The revolutionary community, they have a saying, we build to win. We don't build to lose. We don't need to keep trying to reinvent the wheel. I've said to me a long time ago, don't try to invent the wheel. If the tire's flat, change the tire. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Change the tire, or be creative enough and innovative enough to come up with new ideas that would be workable, that could be programmatic. We need programs. We need programmatic solutions to our people's problems. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress enough. We need training. Training. We need officers training classes. We need individuals that can come into this party and train the people towards independence. See, we can't talk about independence and self-government if we don't understand what that means, if we don't know how to govern ourselves independently. Because like I said, if we walk away from the European government tomorrow, are we truly qualified at this stage for self-government?
Right.
And if we're not, assess those areas where we're not qualified, and let's get that qualification. Let's move towards those kind of training mechanisms that will ensure that we maintain a level of stability that helps us to move forward positively, productively, and collectively. We don't want to deal with the individualism stuff no more. We don't want to deal with the division stuff no more. We ain't pushing division. We ain't pushing divisiveness. We're pushing a collective movement towards liberation. Black power.
Black power. Very well said. And this is where we want for each of us to look into leadership, how to become a leader. We don't want one person to depend on another person when each of us at our own time should train and discipline ourselves to focus and study. If you spend your time with the television, if you spend your time online, you do not give your brain access enough to retain leadership information. So politics and stuff that is important, it does not leave room for you to retain it. So what it leaves frustration. And when it comes time for you to come to the table, you're at a loss or you're not ready. These are the things that affect the whole entire body of who we are as a people. So I want us to challenge ourselves to really, really ask, what is it that is taking most of our time during the day? Now, we're going to play a video right quick on leadership. This is about 5 minutes. And I want everyone to listen to exactly the traits of what makes a great leader. And then we go back to the questions. Callers, I want you to call in 646-478-4447 and tell us what you are going to put forth in 2022 as a collective. Here we go.
Wherever you are, leaders are important. Whether it's to lead powerful organizations or just to make sure a group of friends are having a good time. Here are the seven traits that all great leaders possess. Number one, they radiate positive energy. There's nothing more important in a team than passion and the will to succeed. And having a positive leader is an important part of that. Sometimes I sign on to Facebook and I see these status updates that just reeks of negativity. These people are not good leaders. And more often than not, they are not very successful either. Great leaders radiate positive energy. Not only does that make them more likable, leading to more trust, it also boosts the team's morale. And countless studies have shown a positive relationship between team morale and productivity. Number two, they have a proactive attitude. When something goes wrong, it's easy to blame someone else or to find out why it happened immediately. Luckily, one of the owners of the restaurant was there, so I explained to him what happened. He didn't blame me. He didn't even ask how it happened. Instead, he told me to call the customer, apologize for what happened, and then tell him that we will personally deliver the missing part of his order to his house. At the end of the day, the owner sat down with me to talk about how we can prevent something like this from happening again, but he did it at the end of the day, not when the problem was still unresolved. Great leaders know what to focus on at any given point in time. They are proactive. Number three, they delegate tasks completely. Great leaders realize that they can't do everything themselves, so they focus on the most difficult tasks and delegate the rest to others. Let's say you make more than $30 an hour, yet every week you still spend several hours cleaning your house and doing the laundry. Considering a maid costs around $30 an hour, you might decide it's worthwhile to hire one to do your housework for you. When I first started delegating my work to others, I was hesitant because I knew that I could probably do a better job than the person I'm assigning it to. For example, a maid might put your clothes in the wrong drawer every once in a while, but you should still hire her because the extra time you get to work on more valuable tasks generally outweighs the negatives. Delegating also means fully trusting your team to do the task without micromanaging their every move. Great leaders delegate tasks to others and trust them to get the job done. Number four, they are approachable. A great leader is one who their teammates could see themselves approaching whenever they have a concern. But when they sit at the restaurant, there were two managers there, Maria and Francis. Maria was very good at telling us what to do, but she would always be in her office talking on the phone with her boyfriend. We listened to her, but none of us really respected her. And that is because she doesn't place the same expectations for herself as she does for us. Francis, on the other hand, was different. He didn't have a lot of leadership traits. In fact, he even had trouble telling us what to do. But the one thing he did have was he pulled his own weight. When it was busy, he would grab the spatula and start flipping burgers alongside us. As a result, he gained the respect of everyone. Whenever he was our manager, we worked hard because we wanted to, for Francis. A great leader sets an example, and as a result, gains the respect of his or her entire team. Number six, they are accountable. Your team's mistakes are your mistakes because you are their leader. Remember the restaurant example? When we left out part of the customer's order, the owner and I personally went to deliver what we missed. Imagine the owner of a restaurant coming to your doorstep to apologize for their mistake. That is unheard of, and yet that is exactly the level of accountability great leaders practice all the time. It's not just about responsibility. It's about taking the next step to make things right. Great leaders are accountable. And lastly, they are decisive. A lot of times, leaders have to make decisions that they are not sure of. But once they have enough evidence to suggest making that decision, they stick with it, and they do it with confidence. Imagine that you are the commander of an army, and you have to make the decision whether to enter the enemy territory from the north or from the west. There's no information as to which one makes more sense, but you will still have to choose, because without you, their leader, half of your army might decide to invade from the north and half from the west, and some might even call it quits and retreat. Therefore, your job as a leader isn't to always make the right decision, but it's to make a decision in order to keep the team together. Wrong decisions could be fixed, but a scattered team is a recipe for disaster. Great leaders are decisive and confident in their decisions. I hope these tips help you.
And that's the 7 traits of a great leader. Radiate positive energy, have a proactive attitude, delegate tasks completely, are approachable, they do what they expect of others, and they are accountable, and they are decisive. And that is who we have as a leadership with Sheikh Imam Akbar. He has done the best that he could to bring everything together and to discipline as he sees fit. But we must do our job in order to bring that to fruition. The complaining, the decisiveness, the disrespect, the lack of complete assignments affects all of us. And this is what I would like for us to leave behind in 2021. Now, I, myself, am not a leader. I'm actually a laborer. I'm a worker. But I had to elevate to a leadership status because there was no one leading me here in Los Angeles. While I was working on civil rights lawsuits, working on trying to empower the people in my neighborhood according to the laws that we were governed, I had to sit in these meetings for 5 years to follow the money, not because I wanted to, not because I had nothing better to do, but because I had to. I had to find a way as to why we as blacks were treated in such a low standard. I have found that these 9 questions that were developed is because of poking the belly of the beast, and how our honorable guest, Michael V. Roberts, said it so brilliantly. At age 28, he became a city councilman, and his brother Steve, 2 years younger, became a councilman as well because they wanted to see the changes in their neighborhood, so they became politicians. But they're not politicians. They just wanted the level playing field to change. And this is the capability that we all have as Panthers to do so. There is not one person's job that is less than, and there is not another person's job that is more than. Every single one of us have an important part in this whole entire body, but we must be able to function and be able to work with others in order to make the whole body work. So I urge you to really think about the things that we know that are distracting, that are preventing us from learning, from gathering the pertinent information to make a great system work. No more symbolism in 2022. So the questions remain, what state do you live in? What is the political hierarchy in your town? Who is your city councilman? And what is the nearest abandoned lot or property in your area that has been unused for more than 5 years? These are the specific questions that we ask as Panthers to answer them before we come to 2022's table. And this is how we can create a better system. So before we go to other, if there's any callers that would like to call in between, that has specific responses as to what they're going to bring to the table and what changes they'd like to make. We definitely like to take them in the interval. Now, I want to go back to the beginning. In the book of Genesis.
I don't know, 469, did you call for callers?
Yes. Do we have anyone wants to call in and chime in and tell us what?
469 that's out there. 469. 469-894.
Okay,
live on Black Power Radio.
Somebody go out there and poke them or punch them on the shoulder or something.
Yeah.
Another one up there. And I have a 323. Let me close one of the lines.
Barely hear you.
Was that 469 coming through or 323?
469.
Yeah. Which one are you? Okay.
469.
Let me try one more time. Is that 323 or 469? 323. 323. You're actually live here on Black Power Radio with Dr. Mello Desire.
Okay. I just wanted to say that going forward to the new year, that I'll be stepping up my game. I'm always out in the street. That's part of what I do. I'm always out in the street in Compton, Watts, Long Beach, talking to young people, teenagers and young adults about being leaders and what it means to be a leader. I'm always trying. I put together class to bring young people in to show them business. I am a business owner myself. And so a lot of the stuff that the young men were saying, I agree with them. And also about the HBCUs, all my children went to HBCUs, and I know exactly what they could do for young people. Black people, and it's an imperative. I push HBCUs all the time because they are needed. Black children need to get there. Whether people can finance them, finance the couple, and through HBCUs, because I know how important it is for us to teach our own children, because they are not being taught in other than the regular schools that the white system has put together.
Right on. Can I ask what business would you like to share or what you do?
I'm my business is What's in Store.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Is there any way, do you have any contact information that you'd like to give to the public and share your business?
My business is online, and also I'm mobile. And the reason why I took my business mobile is because I like being out talking to young people.
That's wonderful. And we definitely need people like you on board to gather our young people, who's our main focus. So 300 young people nationwide, including international, Sierra Leone, have about 40. And then we have 20 in Nigeria and about 30 young people in Haiti. So we definitely have our work cut out for them to gather them all together on one platform and sponsor them and see how their leadership can grow through the work that we are trying to accomplish. So that's great.
That's wonderful. And also one more thing. Me and my best girlfriend, who's been friends for the last 52 years, she moved into Warren, Arkansas. It's a small town in Arkansas. And we've been acquiring land there because our mission is to get black people back into black communities.
Right.
And the land there is inexpensive. When we buy houses, we fix them up, and other people that want to do it, we'd be happy to find places for them, too. Mm-hmm. We have already found we got 18 people that have bought so far in the last 2.5 years places there in Arkansas and Warren. And we're going to build communities, back black communities, for people and where they can live. These places are inexpensive. A lot of the places we get need some fixing up, but at for $20,000-$30,000, okay, you can get a place, a 2-bedroom, a 4-bedroom. We just of that person, a four-bedroom house there, and it was $40,000, but it only needed small work, a little work. I'm very interested in getting land, because land ownership, like y'all said, is very important, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. Well, we definitely want to follow up with that, because land acquisition is the name of the game. And we want to present the final list of property at the National Black Political Convention, which will be held in New Jersey, April 28th to May 1st. And then we return right back to Los Angeles, where we'll have 3 days of atonement and building. And these properties that we have presented, we will do in the next 3 months the property acquisition needed, which is why there's no one way to obtain land. A lot of these states have created their own obstacles and rules and regulation as to who owns land. If we do remember redlining, how that has tremendously affected the suburbs and how the hoods are created. This is something that we can tear apart by obtaining the abandoned, forgotten properties in our own town because mm-hmm. they're not planning on developing it. So that's our space, our time to do so. And that's what I look forward to, see the vast land that we can acquire in a different way. Black power?
Black power.
Well, thank you again. What's your name again, sis?
Margaret.
Margaret. Thank you so
yes.
much, Margaret, for being an avid caller and sharing your story and being a voice in the community. So we can't do it without you.
All right.
All right.
Yep. Okay. As we look down the line, see, we've got about two or three more out there. Excuse me, Fred. I'll be back to you first, Fred. See, we have another 323. Another 323. And we have a 464 and a 646. Go ahead with the 323. You're live on Black Power Radio. 323 and it's 338. You're live. I have to move that up. Let's rock. Rock with the 646-789. You're live on Black Power Radio. Dr. Mello Desire.
Black Power.
Black Power.
I want to give a report about the New York City region, the New York City chapter. I want to give a shout-out, big shout-out to the brothers, Kareem, Shabazz, Raheem, and the work they're putting in with the new behavior peer program. We have changed the name. We took out the probation and put peer instead of labeling probation. We're going to leave it as peer. At the end of the day, we all are peers, so we have to address each other as peers. So that's the work we're doing in New York. I just wanted to give the report, Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Now, while you're there, this is our National Field Marshal, Karan Sutton. We were just talking about National Action Network and Tamika Mallory. What are the civil rights groups that are in New York that are currently active? Brother Sutton, are you still there?
Black Power. I'm just listening, Black Power.
Yes, we're asking what current
civil rights. I'm not asking any questions. Black Power.
All right, so let's move on. And that's one of the great leadership qualities that we look to see in 2022. Now let's go back to our spiritual aspect of who we are as people. so we can be earthly, right, coming together. Now, we're just speaking about who Tamika Mallory is and why she's an important figure. Now, Tamika Mallory is a groundbreaking and award-winning social justice leader and moving strategist. She has risen to fame as becoming one of the sought-out and influential activists of her generation. One of her main speaking points, in which we're going to actually play here, was one of the books that she had created, demanding rights, especially for those who have been killed by police brutality. So let's listen to one of her speeches, and then we'll go back as to the work that she will continue to do, especially being one of the top premier voices for civil rights.
California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government institutions and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target, because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve. Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Where were they? If you are not coming to the people's defense, then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay, you are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it.
There's an easy way to stop it. And I'm going to stop it right there. Because I want you to tell me, Black family, what do you think her response is to stop this violence upon the Black man? Can you take a guess? Well, we'll play it later on today. But I want you to fester on that and think of what answer Tamika Mallory, who is a career activist. She started at the National Action Network under Al Sharpton at the age of 12. And in at age 15, she was a full member, leadership in the streets at age 15.
I remember that.
Very, very powerful points that she made. Now, I want to go to shift into the spiritual aspect, who we are, each of us, as a Panther or as an activist in general, should have some spiritual grounding. Now, the God that I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that has been my protector most of my life, is the one that keeps me grounded spiritually. Therefore, the earthly actions that I take is nothing of no power of my own. It is of the grace and the mercy of Yahweh Yeshua, who is my Lord and Savior, that has granted me the wisdom after domestic violence, after tons of brain injuries, for me to allow and write down a plan of action. So I don't take that gift lightly whatsoever. I could easily not been able to learn to write plans at all. But because there was a need for a clear direction for many of the activists out there looking for a concrete plan and solution, well, we don't have Tamika Mallory's in every state speaking the right points or gathering people together, we must figure out the answer on our own. So we look back at the book of Acts. If you have a Bible near you, Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 27 to verse 36. Now, the Acts of the Apostles was a book written specifically for the beginnings of the disciples of the work of God. So it's almost like an instruction manual on how believers should continue their walk and their faith. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Yeshua, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now remember, Peter, they were being brought before the council because they healed a lame man on Sunday, and that was against the law. So now they questioned these apostles as to why you did that. Their response is, they did not know what power and will they had decided beforehand what should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threat and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Yeshua. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting, and these were about 120 disciples gathered together in a room, because this was the beginning of their belief as disciples of Yeshua. When they prayed, the place that they shaped was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Let me read that sentence one more time. Verse 32, Acts chapter 4. All the believers were with one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And I want you to think about this verse when you usher into 2022. With great power, the apostles continued to testify on the resurrection of Yeshua, and God's grace was so powerfully working in them that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, bought the money to the sale, and brought it to the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. I want you to memorize these verses, because this is a verse that is our backbone of an organization. When they said that no one was amongst each other that had a need and they shared everything, is that what reflects today in our organizations? Oh, not at least. And this is why, as a body, you as an individual have to ask yourself, am I bringing productivity and proactiveness to a group, or am I bringing decisiveness?
Right.
And so we must understand that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities, and they have one goal, and that is to kill, steal, and destroy God's favorite creation, which is man, which is us, which is the original man from the dust and the ground that we were created, and the breath of life that God has graciously gave us to call ourselves Adam, from the ground, which is why our beautiful melanin brown skin is a threat to the oppressor, because they know that we are the original man. And out of everything came from us. And we must remember that when we are talking to each other, when we are assigning each other, when we are working together, that we respect each other as the great men and women of God's creation. And when you don't hold yourself accountable in the minute behavior, it tells a lot about yourself. What we would like is opinions and mindsets to cease, to bring forth your plans and your assignments, because you're not doing it for one person. You're doing it for the greater good. And as a Panther, we must not be continue to be laborers and street soldiers. We must have a plan and intellect behind it, and that is the shift of which we as Panthers are going to take in 2022. If you disagree, then you can go over there. Over here, we're going to progress, and we want to own land and have the spirit of what the original Panthers had in 1966 to actually come to fruition. Because Stokely Carmichael, Bobby Seale, Huey P. Newton, they did not risk their lives and do the footwork for us to treat it like it's a game, for us to talk to each other like we're garbage and then talk about black power. On what planet is that going to work in? So think about your leadership qualities. As we mentioned again, they radiate positive energy. They have a proactive attitude. They delegate tasks completely. They are approachable. They do what they expect from others. And they are great leaders, set an example. They are accountable, and they are decisive. And if we are to honor our leader, Sheikh Imam Kareem Akbar, into the work that he has done thus far, with the footwork and the gathering of us, we must do ourselves diligent and not embarrass the man. Moving forward, the question I laid on the hand, was Tamika Mallory. She stated, we must do something. And I ask you again, Black family, what do you think that something is that she's going to state? Let's listen and find out. Could it be a plan she said to write? Could it be a bill to draft? Could it be offices to take? We'll see.
And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops.
Right.
Charge the cops. Charge all the cops.
Well, there's your answer. Arrest the cops. The cops have nothing to do with the 1,000 black men and women that were killed in Chicago.
Right.
Black family, are we listening right now? The reason why I brought up Tamika Mallory is because she's a career civil activist.
Right.
Black Lives Matter all the way. George Soros paid all the way. But she has been the face of these talking points for years. So let's finish to hear the rest of her poignant speech.
Not just some of them, not just here in Minneapolis, charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered. Charge them everywhere. That's the bottom line. Charge the cops. Do your job. Do what you say. This country is supposed to be about the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you. We learned violence from you. The violence what we learned.
Now, I want you to listen carefully to this point of learning violence from the oppressors. This is her talking point. So basically what she's saying, that we as black people, the only thing that we have acquired correctly is the violence that the oppressor has put upon us. Is that true, black family? I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that we're just nothing but a walking barbarian ready to clobber each other over the head because that's all we learned. But this is what this internationally recognized civil rights talking head of Benjamin Crump, Al Sharpton, learned individual is teaching us for years, is that we are good for nothing but violent learners. And I refuse to believe that. I believe that we as black men and women, as the Moors, as the original man, are the creators of everything. So that means that we are the creators of intellect. We are the creators of construction, of math, of science, of languages. But what the talking point for today is that we are the learners of violence. Is that what we're raising our black boys to know, that you are created to do violence? That is the most dangerous talking point to teach our young cubs, is that you're only learning violence. And that is what we see in the street right now to this day. It's because this type of rhetoric is what we want to stop telling our young people. And we got to do it by doing better ourselves. So let's finish and listen to the rest of what our beloved Tamika Mallory had to say.
From you. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.
And that was it. If we are to do better, and remember, Tamika Mallory is talking on behalf of us as black people to the oppressor. If you want us as black people to do better, maybe you got to hear it from me. Let's hear it one more time from the horse's mouth.
So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.
So basically, we as black people are nothing but copying violence, and we can't think for ourselves. That's initially what this civil rights activist is stating, that we have no control over our intellect, that all we are good for violence, and that we can't change ourselves because the oppressor hasn't changed ourselves.
How
stupid is that? That is initially saying that we cannot do anything on our own unless the oppressor is changing their behavior. Since when does that work, black family? When they were whipping us in the fields, picking cotton, while we built this country and have nothing to show for it, you mean to tell me the oppressor was emulating behavior that we could not control? So when they made money off of us, why is it now that we are continuing this Jim Crowism, that we're continuing this crab in the barrel mentality, that instead of reading and writing a plan and learning politics, that we got to blame and point and shove and disrespect our own brothers and sisters that's in the same circle? That's the rhetoric that Tamika Mallory has been spewing. So as we learn about the Build Black Better plan, which is still in waiting, $1.75 trillion that we are waiting for politicians to decide, like Joe Manchin, right, who's not the president, but for some reason it is his decision that is stopping all of the funding, that we as blacks are still waiting for reparations. That's why we can't wait no more. So let's go back. This was about a year ago that this video that I played you, that Tamika Mallory state, the state of emergency speech. This is an actual book that she wrote, The State of Emergency. And the talking points would have been wonderful had it been correct. But I want you to listen to now, a year later, now that Joe Biden is president, we'll see the talking points that Tamika Mallory has said now concerning who we are in politics.
Tamika, like most other so-called black activists and celebrities, are very proud members of the Vote Blue No Matter Who gang. And in a recent interview with Talib Kweli on the YouTube channel Up Rocks Video, she pretty much cemented her loyalty to the Democrats.
And shout out to Talib Kweli, very, very awesome host. He has a podcast, People's Party, and you should listen to it when you have time. Talib Kweli.
By showing absolutely no respect for fooling black Americans into voting for Biden, who has literally done absolutely nothing for black Americans by way of legislation that exclusively addresses the issues plaguing the black community in the same way that he's done for all other groups, such as the AAPI, LGBTQ, and Hispanic communities by way of immigration. And just as a reminder, yes, immigration is a Hispanic issue, given the fact that Hispanics make up 75% of all undocumented immigrants compared to black immigrants who make up a mere 6%. Now, before we dive deep into this interview, it's important to quickly establish who Tamika Mallory actually is. You see, voting blue no matter who is in her DNA, because she has almost literally spent her whole life being groomed by professional ambulance chaser Al Sharpton. Mallory was born in Harlem, New York City, to Stanley and Von Till Mallory in New York City. She grew up in Manhattanville houses in Manhattan and moved to Co-op City in the Bronx when she was 14. Her parents were activists and founding members of Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network, a leading civil rights organization throughout the United States. Their work in NAN influenced Mallory and her interest in social justice and civil rights. Mallory became a staff member of NAN when she was 15 years old, and was later named its executive director in 2009. After working at NAN for 14 years, Mallory stepped down from her position as executive director in 2013 to follow her own activism goals, but still takes part in NAN's work, attending rallies, and recruiting members. Now, if you're paying attention to your screen right now, what you're looking at are 10-year-old clips of Tamika on Al Sharpton's MSNBC show, Politics Nation. Now, I'm not going to waste my time playing these clips because they're not really talking about anything, but just know and understand that these are her media training days when Al Sharpton was grooming her live on air, preparing her for the current moment that she's in. Now let's get into her interview with Talib Kweli. You talk in your book about voting, and you talk about voting for Kamala Harris, and you talk about Biden and not really having any expectations of him. As an old white man. Brothers and sisters, I really could end the video here and say case closed, because that statement in and of itself is profoundly ignorant and immature.
Kamala Harris was not running for president. Joe Biden was. Not only that, she encouraged black Americans to vote for Joe Biden while admittedly having no expectations of him doing anything for black America.
Did you hear that, family? These are the talking heads that I'm telling you have to be replaced. They are pushing us to keep voting for this dead weight politician. You have the Congressional Black Caucus. You have top doctors, lawyers coming together telling us to vote for Joe. Vote for Joe, the lesser of two evils, right? Even though they know for a goddamn fact that he didn't do anything for us before, and damn
That's
sure
right.
told us after he wasn't doing anything.
That's right.
And if you go back and watch this interview, when Talib says these things, she's shaking her head up and down with a smug look on her face, talking about, as if she's done something honorable. And we wonder why black Americans are politically failing so miserably. It's because of these state-appointed black leaders like Tamika Mallory. But I guess my question for you is, many activists rightfully criticize Kamala Harris' spotty record on criminal justice and education. Biden himself has these clear blind spots when it comes to race. You criticize the 94 crime bill in your book, which he was heavily, heavily involved in. Is it tough to justify your vote for them, given their record?
No. Hell no, I don't. I mean, listen, anybody with good sense that was paying attention to what was going on knows very, very well why, at the time when we were presented with these two options, we had no choice. Those of us who were going to vote.
Did you hear that? We had no choice. Do we? I beg to differ, black family. I believe that we have a choice. I believe that we have several choices. But we
right.
got to work towards it. We have to work towards it. It's not easy to write a plan if we've never been taught how to do so. You see, people like Jeff Bezos and Trump, as much as I can't stand them, they are the ones that were trained from birth. From their family, how to run a business.
Right.
And many times in our black families, we're not taught that. Doesn't mean that they were wrong. I'm just saying it affected us today that our black kids are running around because they don't know how to write a plan, because we didn't know how to write a plan.
Right.
So we kept going through life telling you, hey, baby, get a good job, finish school, you know,
yep.
get a good job, finish school. That's what we've been told. But this is not the way of the world right now. Everything is going to be monopolized in the digital realm, which is why we have to know metaverse. We got to get involved in Bitcoin. We got to get involved in stocks. I wish I had my parents teach me about stocks. Dr. Boyce Watkins, make sure his kids learned about stocks. These are people we should be listening to.
All right.
Not world star hip hop. Not Vlad TV, not Black Twitter. We got to focus on the things that are actually going to make an economic change in our neighborhood, and that will reflect in the language and how we operate.
Exactly.
If you choose,
if you choose to participate, then you have a choice of this too.
Right.
And no, I don't feel like regretful at all. Because I'm frustrated with America in general every single day.
And for context, you have been actively calling out the Biden
administration. And I said that. I said we're going to have to fight.
Yeah.
We said that. We were ready. We like, okay, we know we're going to fight. But at least you know who to fight. At least there's a person you can call on the phone and say, meet me outside at 3 o'clock.
Right.
You see, there we go again. Promoting violence. Well, let me tell you something, black family. I don't care how much muscles you have. What, don't care how tall you are, how strong you are. That is not going to matter. What we need to do is start taking our street efforts and taking a pen, taking a piece of paper, and start writing down your goals individually, writing down who you are. And then when you put your plans on paper, it gives you a better idea of where you've been and what work you need and what things you need to work on. This is something that I'm doing every day. Every day I'm a student. Every day I got to learn and make sure that I'm up to date with politics, up to date with current events. Not because I want to. I would love to sit there and watch my favorite sitcom or watch Netflix or binge watch favorite shows. I would love to do that, but I can't because we have an assignment to complete. We have work to do. And it's completely unfair that one person, two people, three people, five people are doing the work that all of us should be doing. And when we come together, you tell on yourself by getting smart. Mm-hmm. You tell on yourself when someone is asking you an intelligent question, I don't answer no questions. We don't need none of that attitude in 2022. We're going to ask you today to discipline yourself and study the things that are spoken on this radio the last 60 days. Review it and show yourself approved because you have an assignment. And if you cannot be a leader for young black men, young black boys and girls coming up, then you need to go somewhere else. Because right now, everything is going to be new and improved. And under Imam Sheikh Akbar, if you cannot do things correctly in a fashion where it's intelligent, you are not needed at this table. Trust and believe.
And the Trump administration, there was nobody to even get on the phone over there. I mean, you're talking about an administration full of people who could care less, literally.
Yeah. Last time I checked, Ice Cube had no problem getting Trump on the phone. It was Biden Harris that told him to F off. Second, I wanted to watch out for the type of language that she's using, talking about we're going to have to fight, and I knew it was going to be a fight. Notice how it's only a fight when it comes to black Americans. It wasn't a fight for Native Americans to get their $31 billion from Biden.
But listen carefully now.
It wasn't a fight for the AAPI community to get their hate crime bill and added $50 million from Biden. It wasn't a fight for the LGBTQ to get their executive order. And it wasn't a fight for immigrants to get their executive order. But when it comes to black folks, it's going to be a fight, y'all. So we just got to vote blue no matter who. Because apparently that's our only shot at winning the fight, even though we've been doing this since 1964. And it hasn't worked yet. Now, let's also address when she stated we didn't have any other choice but to vote for Biden. That's a lie. There are third and fourth party candidates, so that simply is not true. And even outside of that, the greatest thing black Americans could have done was form their own party and get behind it. But to me...
And that is what the Black Panther Party did in 1966. Remember, they were involved in politics, black family. So how dare we carry on this name and not involve ourselves in current politics? Are we making sense? So what I'm saying is that this is a platform where we got to start correcting each other before we go out into the world talking about black power. They know that we know, or they know that we don't know. They know you better than you know yourself. Why do you think they have a manual? And you can look this up. This is an actual manual, how to sell to the Negro. There's an actual way in studying that the Asians, and I was on a flight, when I was on a flight to Haiti, just about a couple years ago, when I went to go see my kids in Port-au-Prince, I was on a flight with an Asian gentleman. It's like a six-hour flight. And this, I don't know if he was Korean or Chinese, but he looked more Korean. He was watching movies right next to me. And the movies that he was watching was Boys in the Hood, New Jack City, and what was the other one? I forgot. But he was basically watching Hood he was basically watching Hood movies. And this was fascinating to me. It turned on a light in my head, Black Family, when I tell you. When I saw this man watching these movies in the way that he was studying the characters.
Right.
This is how they learn about us when they don't have the luxury of coming to the United States. How do you think they learn about black people internationally? It's through movies. Right. It's through television. So when you think you're just being you, doing yourself, just being ignorant in your circle, you have the opposition studying you from across the pond. planning their divisiveness on how to stomp on you and take over your land as they have successfully done since 1776. So do you think we're going to have time for you to have that type of attitude for our black children coming up? I don't think so. We're going to have two choices. Either we get with the program or get left behind. And this is not Mellow Desire's thought, so you can get mad at me all you want. We are here to work together. And at the end of this broadcast, we're going to have a specific call to action. I'm going to have our Iman Akbar leave a closing statement. But we're going to have a specific call to action as to what it is you're going to bring in the next 5 days. What discipline are you going to take in order for you to reach the levels of intellect to match your foot power?
Robert, yes, we do. I don't know. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
We've been on hold for a minute with Alfred. He say is in Sierra Leone. I hope he is still with us. Can you hear us clearly, Brother Alfred?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Black power.
Black power, black power.
Black power, power to the people.
I'm here. Honestly, I'm late for a bit with the time. So when I scary, I have to be part of this meeting. So it's a pleasure to be here. And I am the chairman of the Black Panther Party under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar. Honestly, I am happy with our Chief Justice, Mello, Mello is there, what she is saying. Of course, that's the right thing. The oppressors have made Africa is like this. So what we are asking for is for all of you to think back to the motherland and value the motherland. Because when you think about Africa has all the resources you guys are thinking of. The union is coming from where? South Africa, Tanzania, Niger, Chad. These countries, this is where the union is coming from, where they make their guns and bombs out, which they use to sponsor terrorism in Africa. So if it is high time, the new Black Panther Party over there fight so hard to make the motherland come back to their roots. It's high time for us as black people to fight for our race, to fight for our melanated ability. Africa needs people who will come to say, oh, Africa has been far behind. It's high time we raise Africa up. Do our best to elevate all Africans. Because there are so many cries, so many poverty raging in Africa. If you guys don't step up, that has the finance to sponsor any organization, building that organization, building the youth in Africa. You know, look, 3 days ago, there's a news that brought up about 110 Africans crossing the Mediterranean to find a pastor in Europe. They all lost their life there. Because of what? There's nothing in Africa. There's nothing here. The cry for Africans for liberation. It's a cry for every black, no matter where you are, to look back at something. Oh, we need to step back home and do something serious, something meaningful for the youth. Africans who will come home, do their best. Because most of the youth are engaging in this drugs, this harmful drugs, is because of what? There is no hope. Hope has been died down because of what? Nothing. They don't have anything. The politicians here, they are perfect. Working on that, you take up your principles. So if, one of the man I admire so much, Sheikh Imam Akbar, is playing, is doing his best. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm praying for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to guard and protect him. What Sheikh Imam Akbar is doing is something that no matter how far the God bless him for this, to find people who say, oh, let's come back home and do the investment. Let's come back home and help our people. It's not really easy. I'm from Sierra Leone. But I have been to Liberia, been to Ivory Coast, I've been to Ghana, I've been to the one of West Africa. I've been to a few countries inside West Africa. I've been there on attending different Pan African discussing about the way forward to for our people. Of course, I know the constraints of Africa. It's not only in Sierra Leone I'm talking about the whole of Africa. I've been even to North Africa. I went to Morocco sometimes. I went to Algeria. I even went to Libya. These are the things that I expect I get from those good places. You know, Africa. We need to do development in Africa. Africa needs you. If you are out there, investor, you have any way to you want to invest, you can get in contact with Sheikh Imam Akbar. He can lead you how to do it. Because before you do your investment, you say, no, you don't want to do your investment, that you don't really be an individual. You have to come back home, take it to places that you say, let's do development here. You have built schools. You have some villages in Sierra Leone, they don't have schools. Children are there. They don't have schools, they don't have medical facilities, there's nothing out there. So, as I'm talking to you, Sheikh Imam Akbar knows that there's a comrade that is part of the NDPP, under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar, has 100 acres of land. We want to do development in that place. But how can we do it? We don't have the thing. We don't have anything. This is the thing. So talk about a lot of people will be from there. Going to Liberia. Look at what is happening there. Look at what is happening in Guinea Conakry, Gambia, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria, Togo, Benin, these places, Cameroon. So these are the things. Africa needs that organization that will come and liberate our people. It's high time we all step up. It is very, 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 very high boost to say, let's help our people, let's elevate them. Before they are risking their life, finding a way to Europe to get better life, let's try to do small investments here. We have so many churches and believe this, but nothing, no factory, no workplace for the youth. So many youth have skills, but their skills are not being put into practice because of what? There's no provision for that. So if we have the new black partner under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar playing his role, playing his best to bring some hope in Africa, I think we are praying for Sheikh Imam Akbar to keep up the good work and what Chief Justice Mello and any other comrades who are fighting, the Biko out there, Okasari, other comrades, all the comrades out there that is fighting for us for you guys to look back home and try to do the development here. So I rest my case. Thank you. Black Power.
Black Power. And right before, we have a specific call to action, as our Brother Alfred T. say. Currently, there's an office space that we're trying to secure in Sierra Leone, and we're raising a minimum of $1,000, and this is a specific amount in order to hold this office. So I'm asking all Panthers, I'm asking all leadership, all people who is listening to this broadcast, Cash App 77 Bakers, Cash App 77 Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S, because when we are not on fire the way that our brother in Sierra Leone is on fire, and he's already identified properties and we still have not, we have to show respect for those who are moving and shaking. So if you're not going to contribute, then open your purses and start donating. Start paying your dues. This is something serious, because one thing we're not tolerating is that those who cannot afford to pay and are putting in the work And then those who are not doing either of those have no place at the table. So right now our brother Alfred is in the field, and he's moving, and he's shaking, and he has an office space that needs to be covered. So we're asking right now, between now and New Year's, that this be covered. And I think we can do that. So again, Cash App 77 Bakers, so that way the office space in Sierra Leone can open a free food program and start the work that Brother Alfred Cisse is doing, not only in Sierra Leone, but all of Africa. This is phenomenal. And we have to give respect where respect is due. Black Power?
Yes. And all of those things that we have been aspiring to do over the years will be manifested. Not that there is any magic at 010122, but let's give it a strong, reasonable effort. And I know we'll be successful in attaining our goals, our short-term, mid-range and long-term commitments and our long-term goals, and whatever aspires us, the aspirations of a people is written and identified by their footprints in the sands of history. So with that said, I just wanted to thank Brother Frederick for being here and for doing what he does. And we had a friend to Sierra Leone on earlier, Michael Roberts. I'm going to make an insurance policy that you two will meet and hook up, because it's very important to involve us. He is, per se, a billionaire, known billionaire, Mike Roberts. So let's see what it takes to go outside of the million mark, hit the billion square, as they say in the mechanical world, the top dead center. We want to put this thing on the bus wide open and go for our liberation, for our self-government, our Black Panther government. Because, again, independent, not the Independence Party, but we are an independent government. And that's what I love about the Panther Party so much. So with that said, Brother Alfred. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So Brother Alfred had anything else to say, or he quit? All right.
Yeah. Are you still there with us, Brother Alfred? I don't know, you may have lost him.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Yeah. You, it's your turn to speak, or whatever you want to say. List your contact information. Whatever you want to say, it is okay.
Yeah. If you have any closing remarks.
What I want to say here is that it's for us to put immense efforts to help the Black Panther government to do their best to help Africa. Africa needs the Black Panther help. Africa needs the help of every revolutionary communist out there that's ready to invest. So the long-term aspiration of Africans is to look if we have a self-government. If we have the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar, plays a role to boost development in Africa. We appreciate you so much, and we appreciate every other country. Special thanks to our Chief Justice Melo Desire. She is doing all her best to see that everything works here in Africa. Now the New Black Panther Party has a city. We want to use to carry on our office programs, activities, but the final. And the building is here, three rooms and power, very big building, which every other community of the years can go over. The building, as I'm talking, is accessible, accessible for car. There's car park there. Everything in place is there. So if we have that building for us to carry on the Panther work, that is simple. So the energy that is coming from the U.S., we'll be able to use that building to bring other activity for the Panther. Also, again, I want to appreciate every other community, the Black Panthers, every people. He's doing all his best also the Shaman and Minister of Finance and every other particular, every other promise that's working towards the liberation of our people. And I do believe that we'll be surely successful under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined this man to be a great warrior, a great blessing to mankind. And if someone I'm aspiring to be copying his footsteps, and I'm surely believe we are going to succeed. Africa needs the help of the Black Panther to liberate our people. The cry for Africa is too much. The cry for Africa is too much. I can assure you, I've been to different countries in Africa, and what I've seen is the cry for Africa is too much. The oppressors, the imperialism is too much in Africa. Let's just take a look at what's happening. It's a clear indication that they are not picking up. They are fighting anyhow to see that they win. And we are not going to let them win, because they are being in Africa, express our resources. There's no, nothing they can boast of. The U.S. Is the number one. Yeah, look at what is happening in Congo. They are exploiting all the iPhones and other Apple and Oppo, what they are using over there. They are getting all those resources from Congo. But look at Congo. Congo is poor. They are suffering. Nothing is there. Sierra Leone, for instance, they have Africa minerals, this mineral, this mineral. Nothing is happening here. There are so much guys. No good woods. No good water to drink. Go to some villages. In the villages we are trying to invest, where we have the 100 acres of land, the children there don't have good water to drink. There's no tap water. I was thinking, when I went there the last time with our few comrades, what they told us, that they can have water, well water. It can be fine. They are drinking from a swamp. When I went there, when they took me there, they said, yes, we are getting our water to drink. I shook my head and I said, what the government is doing? Absolutely, it's not doing anything. Absolutely. But when they go to the AU, they speak with all kinds of composite, all kinds of composite that they are doing. They are doing their best in Africa. They are not doing anything. The village is not far from the city. So the people there, they don't have good water to drink. Can you imagine? When I went to that place where they showed me that this is the place they are getting their water to drink. I'm calling on every comrade out there, from the Black Panther, whatever way you can to help us to achieve our goals in Africa, under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar. I do believe I personally want to speak with Michael Roberts, the man that is from Sierra Leone. I think that he's watching me and can be supposed to if you want to invest, if you want to help here, it would be nice. You can contact our chairman, Mama Akbar. You can lead him. You can talk. You can see everything what we are saying. Everything is alike. So you can see, okay, there's a big post. He's going to invest. He's welcome, of course. All of you are welcome. You are all an African, so it's nothing like we have a region now. We are African. The fact that you are black, you are African, so...
That's the motherland. That's right.
Yes. Comrade Melo, you see something?
Yeah, no, I was saying, Africa, that's our motherland. So it's going back home. So we definitely would feel welcome.
So it's like that. I'm calling on every comrade, whatever way they can, to help. Even our people in Haiti. They need us. They need us. And Comrade Melo is trying also. So that is my special thanks is going to Comrade Melo. Melo Desire. She is an exemplary. Honestly, you are such a blessing to mankind. I do believe. Under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar, also his profound, erudite, dedicated, committed chairman. He is trying to liberate our people, and I do believe if he has the resources, if he has the finance to help in every way to help Africa, he can do it. Our black brothers and sisters should not risk their life 3 days ago about 110 of them, 120 of them, they die in the Mediterranean Sea 3 days ago. In Libya, they are finding their way to Europe. Why? So every month, people are drowning in that sea. They are the ones killing them in the sea. They want them to go to Europe. They said the black people are so much in Europe. So now they are using any kind of way to see that they are not, they don't enter. So they lost their life there. It's because of what? It's because of there is nothing here in Africa. There's no hope here. There's nothing here. The government, the president elect us to lead us. They are the ones win us. They are the ones exploiting from us. But when they want to come to power, they will be humble. Acting like this, they are really coming with the change. They are just a puppet working in the interest of the white people. So it's like that. I'm calling on every coming. Really appreciate to be here. And honestly, I'm so happy. So I rest my case. I'll be looking forward to every coming. So really to help Africa. Black power.
Absolutely. Black power to you, brother. It's very inspiring. So thank you. And you echo our sentiments for our students in Haiti as well. They're going through such harsh conditions. But these youth in Haiti, they've been working on the Haitian Constitution since 2018, going through machetes and kidnapping and the murder of the president, Jovenel Moïse, hurricane, you name it. No water. They don't even have electricity at times, which is why they're not on this call. So if they can go through all that and still stay grounded and in prayer and hopeful, what is our excuse, America?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Moving forward.
Cross-examination question.
Yes. I wanted us to remind...
The question of the evening. What are we willing to abandon, or what must we abandon in order to manifest self-government?
Right on. That's right.
In many ways, to answer that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we must say goodbye to a lot of old habits, bad habits that we know is detriment to our progress, and we have to keep it real. So I'm going to lay my out there and be straight up, you know. I first and foremost, I want to leave behind anger. I want to leave behind my emotionality, if that's even a word. It's a word today.
Yeah.
I want to be in a circle of like minds. And I feel that a lot of times, I know when I do speak, it's a little rough, and that is for good reason, but it's not something that I want to do. It's just something I feel I have to do at the time, reacting to whatever's coming. And I want you in 2022 to let that brush off and keep it moving forward like a horse that with blinders on. So that's one of my biggest pet peeves that I want to leave at the table. And I want to give 100% focus on the young people. And that is my promise to them. And I apologize to our young people sincerely for the lack of time that I have to even really be with you 100%, because I'm focusing on other things and adults and elders. And even that's no excuse, but I'm being real. I want to just not be distracted with things that are not important. And so I'll be working on that specifically, and that's what I want to lay on the table before my people. Now, Kwanzaa is today. Officially, we cannot forget. Today is the first day called Umoja, unity, and that is to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. So I want to give a shout-out to those who are celebrating Kwanzaa, and happy Kwanzaa. So if you lit your first candle, which I believe is a black candle, Umoja, that is the time where we say, I want to do something different as you light that candle. And tomorrow is self-determination, Kujichagulia. Chagalia, hopefully I didn't butcher that, Kuji Chagalia, which is self-determination, yeah. And that is to define, name ourselves, and create and speak for ourselves. And so that'll be day two, December 27th.
Right.
Now, if you have any remarks or anything, I'd like to probably read a poem and play one musical bout, and then I'll leave the floor to our beloved Imam Sheikh Akbar to close out the show.
All right.
So this year, Black Power, this year, Black Family, it has been a trying year, especially with the COVID variant and all of the mandates and restrictions. We still have to find a way around this. So I urge us, as leaders in training, that we must say goodbye to our old destructive habits. And after I read this poem and play this song, I want you to chime in, if there's time, to chime in and let us know what you are going to do as a change in your life for the greater good of the party. So this poem is very specific. It's called The Power of Goodbye. Your heart is not open, so I must go. The spell has been broken. I loved you so. Freedom comes when you learn to let go. Creation comes when you learn to say no. You are my lesson. I had to learn. And when you're speaking this poem, this is directly to your habit you're talking to. You're going to say, goodbye, bad habit. So whatever it is in your head, whatever it is that you know, you need to lay it down, present it, and leave it in 2021. Pain is a warning that something's wrong. I pray to God that it won't be long. Do you want to go higher? There is nothing left to try. There is no place left to hide. There is no greater power than the power of goodbye. Your heart is not open, so I must go. The spell has been broken. I loved you so. You were my lesson I had to learn. I was your fortress. There's nothing left to lose. There's no more heart to bruise. There's no greater power than the power of goodbye. Learn to say goodbye. I yearn to say goodbye. There's nothing left to try. There's no more places to hide. There's no greater power than the power of goodbye. There's nothing left to lose. There's no more heart to bruise. There's no greater power than the power of goodbye. And so music tells the story better. And so I leave you, my family, to be the best that you can be in 2022. Here we go.
As-salamu alaykum and Black Power, our beloved brother in Sierra Leone, our Honorable Chairman Alfred Frederick Cisse, and all of those that have joined to support him and his leadership that's in Sierra Leone. We appreciate all of you for being patient with Mashiach Black Power Radio, and it's all a form of growth for everyone involved in this venture. And again, we will be in New Jersey on April 28th, 29th, and 30th. We shall, inshallah, be in Los Angeles on Malcolm X Day, May 19th, May 20th, May 21st, and for a special dinner on May 22nd. We want you to be there, be square, and it's definitely I want you to be there. So do whatever we have to do to make sure everybody got the tailbone pointed to the ground. We'll make it in where they can fit in. And we thank you so much again for your time. As-salamu alaykum and Black Power.
Black Power.
Yeah, you can, if you have a little miniature monologue, you can drop it now, Brother Alfred.
All right. Well, May 22nd is the day of reckoning. That day we have an invite only of 50 of the most powerful people in the world that'll be in one room talking about metaverse and investing in 3.0. So you have 6 opportunities to show yourself approved to be part of this exclusive dinner. One of the things is in May, April through May 1st. As Imam Sheikh Akbar just mentioned, in New Jersey, a National Black Political Convention, 3 days of bringing your plan. We'll be talking way before then. So please join us on our weekly meetings. If you'd like to know more information on how to be part of these meetings, you give us a call at 323-884-8583. You can text, "I want to learn more," or "become a member," and it will send you some information from them. 323-884-8583. Now, the other opportunity for you to be invited to May 22nd Investors Dinner will be May 19th to the 21st in Los Angeles in the Merck Park, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz Day, which will be 3 days of atonement and rebuilding. And these 6 days are ways that you can show that you really are about to change. The dialogue will matter no more. It's paperwork and receipts, and we want to see receipts on how you're going to usher in. So there's plenty of opportunity to bring your talent, your wear, your goodness to the table, and we look forward to intellect and minds really coming together in a different way that never has happened before. So that way we can ultimately create our new system. And that's all we have for the last Sunday of Black Power Radio, Sister Sundays. And I hope to hear more sisters, if we have any more sisters on the line that didn't chime in before we go. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. Black Power. I'm not sure if Shabazz of New York, our onboard attorney, let me see if he had anything for us. I believe that's him at 646-973. Brother Shabazz, did you have something out there of New York? We have 646-973. Brother Shabazz, did you have something?
Black Power.
Oh, Black Power. Yeah, drop it like it's hot. Shabazz, give us a New York update real quick. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, we have
Black Power.
Wa alaikum assalam, Black Power. We have to nurture these children. We have to raise these children like the tribe of the motherland. We got to nurture them politically, mentally, spiritually, economically, financially, et cetera, because they're the future, and we have to concentrate more on the future, because when we do this, we'll have a better future, because these kids is running crazy out there in the streets. We need more community center participation. We have to concentrate on youth. That's what
that's
I have
right.
to say about Black Power. Black Power.
Power to the people.
Black Power.
Very well said.
Oh,
thank
power
you.
Power to the people. Oh, power. All right.
That's right.
And did you have anything else, Dr. Mello Desire? Did you have anything else before we cleared out of here and head for the ranch and so forth?
Yes. I definitely want us to really think about in the next few days what we're bringing to the table. We speak the language of the youth, and I am so grateful for this journey and meeting great people, real powerful people that have dedicated many, many years to the service of activism, and that we not take it lightly. So I humbly am in service for anyone that wants to grow and to build. This is what we look forward to. So I thank you again for this platform, and let's grow it together. And I look forward to hear your ideas, your input on this platform. This is for you. This is for the people. And we must utilize it in order for our young people to know that we are not just created for violence, that we are created to build and renew. And that's it. And that's all. So happy 2021. And come on in 2022. We're ready for you. Power to the people.
All right. And finally, in reaching out to Africa, because Brother Alfred, Chairman, Alfred, I don't know if he had something that maybe he had forgotten to mention or something that should be said as we close.
Black power.
Black power.
The commitment of what we are doing. I am saying that we have the building already. It's here now. The videos and the pictures with the Minister of Finance and the chairman, and also Future of His Mellow Desire. We have everything. Of course, I just want to appreciate each and every Congress who took part to be part of the Black Radio. We are going to be here and live tomorrow again. I think it will be the same time. So I appreciate everyone. I'm just saying, please, whatever way you have to help Africa, please do. As our chairman is fighting for the continent to come to Africa, I do believe in January or so of February, maybe things will be great. So I want to appreciate every comment out there working towards the Black liberation under the Black Panther, the leadership of Chairman Chinua Achebe, to master the dreams of Africa. Happy to see that happy to acquaint myself really from a Mellow Desire. She's really a mentor. I don't have much to say, but I just want to appreciate her. I want to appreciate each and every comment today. I don't hear from the chairwoman, Kelly Muhammad.
We spoke to her today. She is ill. She has had the COVID, and she is recuperating. Her and my assistant Michelle and our brother Pete and others who have COVID, almost everyone has been sick with this COVID. It's really, really, it's amazing that so many of our people have been vulnerable or susceptible or exposed. They're not keeping their immune systems. I can't tell you each story, but I will tell you we have to be cautious, brother and sister, very cautious.
Right.
Obey your best thinking concerning the COVID.
Right on. We do have a poem. Black Power. Do you have a poem that I forgot to play? I would love to play it if we have some time. Shiki Mom?
What was it? What again?
We have a Black Power poem that I wanted to play. Do we have time? 3 minutes?
Yeah. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
All right. Here we go. From Chinua Achebe.
Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call a pitchfork a pitchfork. Let's just say we know what a posse looks like, what a mob can do. We know about chasing ghosts. We know about finding ourselves in dark rooms. We know about safety and numbers. Let's admit that the townspeople ain't never been afraid of a giant, that the body has always been bigger than the head, that the power has always been with, of, and for the people. So let's just tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's talk back. Let's march to infirmary. Let's outline some points. And let us speak of police who will step over our sleeping children to shoot their fathers and ask why they woke and ask why we have guns. We cannot forget how whales sound escaping from a siren or a boy. Let us call little Bobby's name. Let's call little Bobby's mama. Let's put her on the phone with Wanda Johnson or Sabrina Fulton. Let's talk about how easy it is to choke, how America's bravest mass shooting is durational. collective. Let's say wounded knee and never again. Let's say move on HQ and never again. Let's say it in the same breath as Flint, in the same water as everywhere we have been drowned. Let's say America and mean necessarily the trail we wept to get here, the choppy ocean that fought to kill us. Let's say Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Accra and mean the parts of the world who knew revolution as we did, black and impoverished and just coming back from a war like always. Say, let's talk about money as if the first U.S. bailout was stocked in the hull of a slave ship. Oh, but we ain't supposed to talk about that. We ain't supposed to talk about cotton. We ain't supposed to talk about that gin. We ain't supposed to talk about Jim Crow. We supposed to be post. We ain't supposed to ask for what's owed. We're supposed to be thankful to a tyrant. We supposed to kowtow. We supposed to back down. We supposed to not talk about our ache or what we've missed or how we ain't never had a language or a flag or even a proper family reunion. We are never going to know the names of the people who died for us to live in terror. Let us admit that the idea of Africa is still an offense punishable by death. We are not to dream of going home, not to speak of what has been stolen, not to feed our children, not even to let our hair take flight. We ain't supposed to do anything but die. Not nothing. We supposed to die. We supposed to not even know we supposed to die. We supposed to not speak that we know we're supposed to die. We're supposed to watch our sisters rub crack chalk on their eyes. We supposed to sit and eat stale crust and look on from the outside. What kind of party is that? Let's start our own. We supposed to sit here and wait till somebody let us? Let us stop waiting on freedom like it's a whooping cough. Stop hoping freedom is going to court us on a Thursday date night. Quit crossing our legs and biding our time and biting our nails. It's our birthright, and they will lie to us and tell us we are violent for wanting peace. Peace is our dowry. We wed to a democracy that keeps taking off its ring. We marry to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt. There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they're closing in tight. There's a courthouse. There's a free breakfast. There's Emery's pen. There are Tariqa's fingers, Sonia's poems, and Bobby's plans in kitchen. There are instruments of light and joy. There are folks waiting on orders. There are children in the hallway singing songs about our mothers, these blues people in their black leather. There are teenagers sneaking into our meetings. There are old folks who are both afraid and resentful. They didn't do this first, but some did. Some dusted off their pistols and got right to it right here on Grover MLK, right here on 10th Street, right here out front of McClellan and then Merritt. Come on, real revolution. Come, real revolution. Come, real fire and fake alibi. Come some Sunday when some brother comes to with the visceral realization that he lost sanity to a country that would have his breath on a plaque, would have his head without thinking and mounted. He's either going to want to get even or get freedom. The whole universe stands to benefit if this black man is free. The truth of the matter is white folks' freedom depends on ours, and we've outgrown a binary that excludes all other comrades. We're talking about all the people, all the people, all the people. Let's take all the power, all the power, all the power, all the people, all the people, all the people, all the power, all the power, all power to the people.
All power to the people, and that
all power to the people.
Is it.
So again, be with us tonight. Or, again, within an hour, it'll be tonight for yet another episode of Black Power Radio. Of course, we have the most informative radio talk show on the Internet on your smartphone, and some claim to have a dumb phone, and, of course, on your Android, and if you happen to have a paranoid phone, by whatever means you tune in to Black Power Radio, we want you to tune up and sharpen up your devices all day Monday. Get ready for us Monday night at 8 at 646-478-4447. Again, for the numerically pure at heart, at 646-478-4447 here at Black Power Radio. And we, of course, we give you more of what you listen to your Black Power Radio for. And we do have, again, the most informative radio talk show on the Internet. Thank you again, and assalamu alaikum, Black Power, as we said it, and we know who can say it best. We tried, but of course, he always says the best is our beloved brother in the person of Marvin Gaye, Marvelous Father. Ooh, Black Power. Black Power.
Don't go and say things about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in. He gave us everything. And all he asks of us is we give each other love. Honey,
Thank you. us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
One that got away, one we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, go Mattel, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the Comatell, pro. Whips and chains,
sitting around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Thought it didn't fight, just stripped the blame. Kid didn't offer murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence see the beat, only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sign. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sign.